Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
Sorry, I've just eaten a biscuit.
Biscuit?
A biscuit. This is Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. And no, we're not on TalkSport, we're on the podcast. I've gone a bit mad. That's that biscuit.
You should have had a Sergio biscuit.
What was in it? Wow. So, yes. Thanks for downloading us. It's the H&J Daily, the best bits of this afternoon show. We had a conversation about various things.
We had quite a lot of conversations.
Yeah. Got some songs for the Arsenal fans, for Wayne Hennessy.
Incredibly excited because he's back. He hasn't been on since the World Cup.
Who's this?
Rugby League.
Rugby League man came, but that's true, yeah. He's from the world of fashion, you'll hear that, in Rugby League. The two worlds collide.
Some thought he'd never
return. That's right, yeah, but he was kind of forced out of retirement, literally. Tim Vickery was on good form, talking all things South American football. So we'll bring you that, including the cursed white shirts of Brazil are back. And Tim hasn't got a problem with it, and he'll explain why.
Before I go to last night's games,
yeah,
I just want to talk about the Wayne Hennessy thing. There was one thing that caught my eye in it, and never mind whether they found it, whatever they found, I didn't agree with that. But this bit, it said, Hennessy said he raised his right arm to attract the attention of the waiter, who was called Jordan Bussolini.
It's so close, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit.
Surely that wasn't his name.
It wasn't Manito Bussolini, was it? That would have made it. So he was trying to. I mean, if the bloke had been called Mussolini, I wasn't doing a Nazi salute. I was trying to attack Mussolini's attention. Do you know? It's a real shame that Mel Brooks isn't in the country at the moment, because I think he would have enjoyed this story.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Anyway, to last night's game.
It's German for chinny reckon. But anyway, we move on, Andy.
Yeah, we do move on. Yeah. And honestly, they United, they did self-destruct completely, didn't they? And they just handed that to Barca. And you can't be 2-0 down in that, that way.
First 5 minutes. Could have been 2-0 up in 5 minutes. Yeah. Completely different game.
Chance.
They came out of the traps. They looked like they were up for it. Yeah. They were getting the ball off of Barcelona. And then
just
Messi got involved.
You know, like they did against PSG. But, you know, you can't. Ashley Young.
The old Cruyff turn on the edge of the box.
Fatal mistake. And then De Gea, I mean, just unbelievable. But there you go. The referee last night was Felix Brick, known as House in the refereeing.
Could be worse.
Yeah. It could be, actually. And I was thinking...
Well, I've got his book, his life story. It's all there, complete and utter brick. It's tremendous. It's a tremendous read.
It's a tremendous read.
It's a bit like the agent Athol Steele's book. I've always loved that one. Total Athol. That's a fantastic. Honestly, it's a brilliant read. Pick it up if you can.
I'm happy the producer.
No, that's what it's called, John. It's what the book's called. Having a go at me.
He couldn't work it out. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, there were two long VAR reviews in the first half. Yeah. And they added on 5 minutes, but I was just thinking, A, are we going to see less football if they don't add on the correct time?
Yeah.
And I think that you're going to have transparent timing of stoppages, because I think there will be people saying, well, blimey, we had three VAR and you've only added on 2 minutes. They're going to get all that next season as well.
So I thought, Andy, what was important last night was that we saw in both games in Champions League, we saw it working. We saw how it could work on the big screen. Mm. We all saw a moment in a game. As soon as we saw a replay, we all knew that wasn't a penalty. And if the referee had anything about him, which he did because he's got confidence in himself, he was about to look at that again and overturn it. Yeah. In fact, I thought Rakitic should have got a yellow card because he went looking for the leg and he dived, basically.
Yeah.
So it should have been a yellow card. But then we saw a Ziyech, who scored that, what he thought was Ajax's third goal at the end of the game, which was ruled off for offside correctly. And on TV, we see the replay. So we see the VAR check going on and we see the replay. And I think we're all in the stadium and we saw the replay.
We don't see the replay. I'm sorry, but we don't see the replay.
What, on TV?
We did not see the replay last night. What they did, UEFA, they didn't show the replay until after the VAR decision was made. I made a note of it here. It's really annoying. And there's absolutely no reason not to show it. And they're putting VAR integrity and the protection of the ref ahead of entertainment for no reason.
But so UEFA, you think of packaging it up.
As soon as there was a call for VAR, that's it. There was no replays until after the decision was made.
So if you're saying if a referee, they'll only show it afterwards, is that what you're saying?
That's what they did last night, anyway.
But even in the stadium, if they do that, don't you think that would be a help rather than just seeing that graphic?
The only thing in the stadium is they're worried about the crowd trying to get onto the referee to try and influence him, and you know, that I can see.
That's another aspect of it I don't have a problem with. Jordi Alba, as the referee went to look at the monitor, Jordi Alba goes over at the referee, and I don't know what he's saying to him, like, oh, that's definitely a penalty, ref.
Well, of course he is.
And then we saw the Juve players around. There was an handball towards the end of the game, and they're all crowding around. What's the point? They've now got cameras. There's absolutely no point. They're just wasting their time, the players.
You're not going to influence a guy
when he's got a second look at it, are you? You don't really need to. But it won't stop players doing it.
No, it's an automatic thing.
But I think we have got to get to that stage where we do see, once, even if the incident's run its course, we have got a right, I think, as people of the paying public who go to the games where VAR is in progress and we're seeing it happening, we should have a right to see what's gone on.
I think we should. And even if people in the stadium, I've said this to you before, it could be like cricket, they can hear what the referee and the VAR are saying, and they don't have to see it, and they could be part of it. But at home, we should be part of the whole thing, and there's no reason why we shouldn't see a replay.
Why shouldn't we be in the... I mean, like, what did I do? I tweeted you last week after the Danny Rose penalty. I said, was it a pen? Because I don't know.
No.
I'm having to ask friends whether it was a pen or not, or watching it on TV. Okay. That doesn't feel right. My ticket was £65 and I'm getting half the story.
I know, they've got to sort this out. There's no question about it. Ajax, of course, very exciting, and David Neres up front. I'd like to see him at Watford with Will Hughes, one for the teenagers.
Oh, blimey, yeah, the Live and Birds fans.
Exactly. Yep, okay. Neres Hughes.
Yeah, so don't look at them in there. They're about 15.
I did test him on one this morning.
Old reference?
It's a T20 birthday spread. Yeah, I tested it to see if he knew it, and he did. So,
okay.
And he's only 27.
Okay, he's a mere child.
27.
He said he'll take 27.
26.
I think Rugby League Man's up later, is he? Yeah, kimonos are big at the moment, and you know, he's decided to. I
hope this doesn't mean he's defecting for Union for the World Cup.
Oh, that's the trouble, isn't it? Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now I'm looking forward to the 4:35 at Beverley today.
We're going
to
give the result out. That's our ongoing commitment. Is it?
No. It's the happy 70th birthday, my special mum Kathy. Handicap.
That's nice. It's nice when they do that.
A little special race.
Yeah, really, it's good.
Really
we'll have to do one for you one day, Andy, for one of your
special occasions.
So, another goalkeeper. It's amazing how generally Atletico Madrid managed to hold on to their players and manager constantly. Jan Oblak, again, everybody wants a great goalie, and he doesn't let many in, does he? His record is stunning, clean sheets. Sign a new deal, 5 years. They're so good here, aren't they? No one ever wants to. It's like the Hotel California.
It's a combination between the manager, the stadium, and the money they pay.
Yeah.
In fact, it's Madrid. It's a nice place to live. So.
Yeah, I suppose it is. Yeah. But anyway, he's top keeper, so we move on.
That's good. I might bump into Danny Dyer on my holidays this year. Because he's set to buy a caravan at the Sun Holidays Camp where you can have a holiday for £9.50. You've always wanted me to go on that.
I've always thought there's a TV documentary in you going on a £9 caravan holiday because you are a terrible snob. And I think you'd struggle a bit, really. I'd like to go with you and then drag you into uncomfortable situations. I think it might be fun.
I've got a T20 birthday spread for you, but I'll give Bill a bit of notice. Pele, are you ready with Pele? He's always there, Pele, and it's so good to see him out.
Get well soon, Pele. He's on the mend. We'll find out in a minute.
So it's very happy birthday to the musician and composer.
Oh, yeah.
Jan Hammer.
Oh, yeah.
Jan Hammer. I better give you a spread. I think you probably know Jan quite well. I think you'll be within eight.
I used to drink with him. No, I didn't really. Of course, I never met him.
Well, I know him.
I know who he is. Yeah, I know him pretty well
because he was in our five-a-side team last year when we won the league. But sadly, he's not available this year. We'd win it again if I had a hammer.
That's a bad one for the Trini Lopez fans.
I just tested on the producer earlier.
Have you heard that song before?
He has.
Yeah, he has heard it. But well, they come out to Herb Albert's song, so he keeps in touch with that sort of era, doesn't he, at talking.
How old is he, Jan Hammer?
He's probably older than I'd imagine. I'd say he's probably in his... What, is he about 72 now, Jan?
Oh, very good. He's 71. He? You're back on form.
Tremendous.
Good to see that.
Keyboard player he is, Jan Hammer. Yeah,
no,
Billy Cobham, people like that sort of era.
Tremendous.
Late 70s. So
the woman who created Call the Midwife has admitted there are a list of actors who have begged to be in the show.
Oh, right, yeah.
They've written and they're completely unsuitable, but they want to be...
I imagine it's a nice gig, isn't it? Nice, friendly...
They include The Rock, Danny DeVito and Vinnie Jones. No, I made that up, the last bit.
Imagine, I'd love to see Vinnie and Call the Midwife. Call the Midwife a... yeah, that's what... I called the Midwife a... Right! Yeah, you can hear it, couldn't you? Yeah,
it's fantastic. Really, yeah.
Who do you come up with? Danny DeVito would be good, isn't it? I think he'd give it a lift.
Well, you think so, yeah.
Yeah, he'd be a
The
doctor.
Rock.
I don't doctor. See... He can do a comic turn. He's got a lightness of touch.
Well, it's not really Call the Midwife doesn't call for a lightness of touch.
There'd have to be a series of pyrotechnic explosions. I've never watched Call the Midwife, so I can't throw in any knowledgeable...
Well, it's quite... I mean, it's a wonderful programme, I gather. Not that I've particularly seen it, but I know people who love it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's sort of fairly grim fare.
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah.
Jeff Peters wants to play the Jan Hammer birthday spread game.
How does he?
Because he knew Jan as well. He knew him when he had a business with the former Sheffield United and Leeds midfielder Michael Tong. What do they call the business, Jeff? You don't
got
say.
No idea.
Yeah, they're both good gags. Well done, thank
all
you,
the
Jeff.
Papers have got worker Maria Constantinescu. Sorry,
was it Istanbul? Or is it Constantinescu?
It's Constantinescu.
Okay.
Who works at a?
Now that's a great look. You could now, if it was her birthday,
yeah.
And you basically you went out one night and you saw what's her first name?
Maria.
If you said I went out and it was I thought I saw. Maria Constantinescu, but of course it wasn't. It was the former QPR in England genius, and so it was. It's Stan Bowles, not Constantinescu. You with me?
It's Stan Bowles. It's
not Constantinescu.
That is worthy of Frank Muir and Dennis Norden.
Oh, there we are. Well, they were brilliant. So there we are.
There we go.
Keep going then.
Anyway, she works at a nursery in Spalding in Lincs, and there's a picture of her. They've all got it. It's a great photo, surrounded by flowers. But you think she definitely doesn't suffer from hay fever.
No, she doesn't. It's good that you thought that.
Well, I did like to think these things.
Yeah.
Once again, there's a sort of story about we all love bacon, don't we, and sausages.
We all love bacon.
Well, we do. You know, people like a bacon sandwich. And
not all people.
Not everybody.
But the timing of that announcement, considering like veganism is on the rise. We all love... Andy Jacobs' new programme, We All Love Bacon.
Well, we don't, Andy.
That doesn't stand
all
any...
A lot of us.
Doesn't stand
a
any
lot
scrutiny.
Of people enjoy a bacon
to
sandwich.
To be honest, I don't think you should be shouting from the rooftops about your love of bacon.
I can.
Okay.
And sausages, which I particularly enjoy.
Okay. A beef sausage, yeah?
Well, possibly.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get you out of a hole, mate.
No,
that's
you don't
all.
Have to get me out of a hole. I mean, everyone knows I'm fairly secular.
Yeah.
I do like a bacon sandwich.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Heard your language. I mean, I think you'd be difficult otherwise, yeah.
Oxford University Professor Tim Key has led a study to say, I don't know if it's the same one.
Sidekick Simon, Sidekick Simon. He does more than that. I hate saying that, but that's what you know him for.
But it's very interesting. I mean, June Brown is in EastEnders.
Yeah.
She's smoked for 70 years. She drinks. She drinks Guinness. She likes wine. She likes chocolate. Right. She's 93.
Yeah.
And I guarantee
I
guarantee she lives longer than the bloke from Twitter. That bloke we were talking about last week, who only eats one meal on the weekend.
Right.
Waits till Sunday.
Well, I mean, if he's only eating one meal a week, he's not going to last long anyway.
Yeah, lives
really?
In this sort of monk-like nice existence.
Bowl of steam every morning he likes. That's right, yeah.
Hopefully June will get to 100 and she won't say... It's all down to porridge and whiskey. Well,
yes,
it's
all down to Guinness and fags. But that's not a great advert, is it?
No, of course.
And it shouldn't be, guys. You know, June has somehow bucked the trend. But generally, that's not a clean way of living, is it, really?
It certainly isn't, really. No question about it.
Is that it? Is that you?
Well, I think it is, really, yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Rugby League man's here.
Oh, good.
Now, I had no idea, because if he's not heard Rugby League, he's not been on for about 5 years, but we've finally coaxed him out.
He's not been on since John's been the producer.
Yeah,
I think the last time he appeared on the show was during the World Cup.
Why, is it that long?
I heard him shouting at the back of the pub we were in.
Well, I mean, he's still been out and about on the fashion circuit, as well as the Rugby League circuit.
That's right.
And I had no idea that the kimono is back. Did you?
Not till he rang me up and said, I'd like to do a piece today because the kimono is back.
Let's find out more.
I have an excellent hip-length kimono. Pink silk with a sweet petal pattern that I pop on over anything. I bought it in a vintage shop in San Francisco a few years ago. However, thanks to Gucci, the things are popping up all over. I have a pretty scallop-edged one, knee-length, with a waist tie, an embroidered back, lovely over jeans. Or, and this is key, you can masterfully and elegantly take to your bed in either Maid Demoiselle's ruffled floral print or Celia Dragoon's printed satin number.
Fantastic, isn't it? Great.
That's
noise.
What I call breaking news.
Yeah, that's right. And Gucci. I didn't know Gucci was in that business, really, Graham Gucci. I didn't know he was in the kimono business, yeah, so that's beautiful. And I know somebody will be...
33 on the back.
Somebody will be raising a glass of mild tomorrow night, Andy, because I had no idea that our old mate Eddie Hemmings hangs up the microphone on Good Friday...
what
from the world of rugby league. That's right. It's I had no. I thought he was going to see it through at the end of the season.
Me
but,
too.
I'm
surprised to hear that this is his last game.
It's Wigan Saints. What a way to go out, the
absolutely.
Derby. So he's been absolutely brilliant, and he'll be missed. And if we can catch up with him tomorrow, we will. If we can try and squeeze in a chat with Eddie, because I've always enjoyed his work.
Oh yeah, it's been a great career.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We may not get round to talking cricket, so maybe we should have a chat about this. And you may have, as you've been hearing, John has been telling you that Jofra Archer has not been called up for the 15 for the World Cup. But that's not a major problem. He's still going to be involved in the games against Pakistan.
Yeah,
so,
him and Chris Jordan, they've got a chance to break into the squad.
Yeah, and it's a kind of marketing purposes. They have to send out pictures early, you know, and pen pics of players for the World Cup. So that's why they've picked the 15 now. But you've heard a couple of players in the last 2 days. One, Mark Wood, saying, is it morally right that a player gets parachuted in? Could it change the dynamic? And then we
Chris heard Wokes.
Some sort of thing from Chris Wokes saying, does it feel that it's the right thing to do?
I don't agree with Wokes here. He's a very good cricketer. But he says here, we've been a tight-knit group for 2 to 3 years, played strong cricket and won a lot of series. I wouldn't want to see any of my mates miss out. Well, it's not a private club. That's number one. So it's about England. It's about the best players. And also, players like Denley and players like Tom Curran, they haven't been around for 2 or 3 years. They've just come in the last series. So, you know, I think it's a bit much. You know, basically, there's a lot of self-interest
there. There was a little while ago, we spoke to somebody who was out of the England side, and Andy caught up with
him.
It was a long time ago. But there was a little period when it felt very clubby, and if you faced it and fit, you didn't have a chance. And that changed, completely changed, as Andy said. But.
Yeah.
You do kind of, even Owen Morgan said to him, is it fair that Jofra Archer could come into the mix? He said, fair probably isn't the right word. It probably wouldn't be fair morally, but it's the nature of international sport. But you think about it, Jofra Archer was born in Barbados, and I know he did play under-19s for the West Indies, but he's got an English father, he's got a UK passport, he has officially qualified for England. And I don't quite see a problem. We have enough sort of South African and Australian
accents
in the dressing room.
Ben Stokes was born in New Zealand, wasn't he?
Yeah. So I don't quite see what the issue is.
Not already in Zimbabwe.
And as you've said, other players have come into contention. Yeah. That's the nature of cricket. You know, other better players come along.
I mean, Morgan's Irish.
People lose out.
It's, you know, he's a very, very good cricketer. And, you know, I think if he's available, then you've got to give it a go. Somebody who's that, is that what I think it is?
Yeah. The producer has come in with a small tin box.
That's wonderfully helpful, isn't it?
Which is, he said, why don't you have a game of how's that?
Well,
I don't know. Could be because this is national radio and I hadn't really prepared for it. But
apparently the technical issues are not being resolved.
It's so. Back by
oh,
the
it's
look
back.
Of it. It looks like the screen has returned.
Oh, okay.
So
I was just getting my team together there.
Were you really for a game of how's that? So yeah. It looks like we might be back in contention very shortly. But in the meantime, Andy, have you wrung every last drop out of your comedy gold?
Well, I don't know.
Let's look at their next five games.
That's exactly
next
true.
Five games
we
coming up.
We should pay
up.
Tribute to Les Reed, who has died, because the great composer.
Yeah.
The age of 83. And two sort of
because people
big
are going to be thinking,
songs.
Why are you bringing up yeah. Les Reed? But because, yeah, two iconic songs sung by fans everywhere. He was responsible for.
Yeah.
One is Delilah, which of course, much loved
by the Stoke fans.
And the other was the B-side of the Leeds 1972 FA Cup final single. And it's Marching On Together.
Yeah.
And he wrote that. It's interesting. It's not often that the B-side usurps the A-side. And do you remember the A-side? I was singing it to you earlier on.
Oh, really?
And we play all the way for Leeds United. Oh, Ellen Rock. Remember that one?
I do remember it now, yeah.
72?
Tremendous.
Anyway, it stopped me singing. Thank goodness here's Tim.
Must be technical problems. You never sing on this show.
I know. Are we going to do Tim now, are we? Okay, well, we're going to have about 30 seconds with Tim and we've done the cricket. So that's not what I would have done, but let's not produce on air, eh? Let's catch Tim Vickery now. Hiya, Tim.
Yeah. Well, you've got to have a song in your heart, haven't you?
You've got to. Anyway, Tim, let's talk about...
Well, talking of songs, you know, before we get onto Tim's list, Ronaldinho, I was reading the other day, is starting a new career as a hip-hop artist.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know about this, Tim?
Yeah, it was one of those things where you don't actually need too much actual talent, do you? You can sing worse than Paul Hawksby and still have your name in lights.
You probably remember that song, don't that lead song I was singing slightly out of tune?
I do, yeah, I do. I remember them all. If you had to name, if you're saving from a burning French cathedral, one football song from all time, what one's it going to be?
Wow, that's one football song.
What an extremely tasteless question. Yeah. Good, yeah. You are tasteless.
I'm not really. I was more thinking of the question. Right, but look, you know, thank yeah.
Well, I suppose somebody who lives in another continent could come up with that.
It'd have to be, from my point of view, it'd have to be one of the Tottenham ones, wouldn't it? It'd have to be Spurs are on their way to Wembley. I suppose that's the one I'd take to the football's desert island.
Indeed, yeah, I think I'm with you all the way. What about the we're off to Wembley because we beat the Arsenal?
Yeah,
Arsenal got very, very ratty.
I didn't choose that one. I'd go more blue is the colour myself.
Yeah, well, I think we're all basically proves how biased we all are. Let's talk about Lionel Messi. I'm sure everybody's been raving about that performance today. What did you make of it, Tim, last night?
That we are just so lucky to be on the planet at the same time as he. And I never tire of telling people, you know, I remember sitting in a little Colombian hotel room just more than 14 years ago telling you, you know, I think I've discovered gold. Not fool's gold, but real gold. This is wine, women and song and women. And it was Lionel Messi, of course. And it's just been such a privilege to watch it unfold week after week after week after week. When the first goal, he has absolutely no right to score that goal.
There was nowhere else he could put it, was there, than that little
gap. It just makes it look so unbelievably easy. And he's just got almost everything, you know. I mean, he's and even when he strikes the ball with the right foot, the goalkeeper's so dazzled he kind of lets it slip in behind him. You know, footballing speed is not Usain Bolt speed. It's the ability to change rhythm suddenly, and he does it better than anyone, you know. And at the same time as having all of that, he just sees everything that's going around him all the time. He is an absolute phenomenon. And the sad thing, I suppose it's a kind of metaphor for the passing of time in our lives, but the sad thing is we're now at the stage where one more game is one less game, because it ain't going to go on forever, and let's enjoy it while it goes on.
It is a pity that the World Cup thing is there because, you know, he does stand comparison with Pele and Maradona. I think he's probably is the greatest of all time.
Is that a fair point? They always say that, don't you? If you haven't won a World Cup, you're not a truly great player.
But in Argentina, they say it too.
Yeah, I think this is harsh, you know, because Maradona had Buruchaga. You know, I mean, that 86 World Cup where Maradona really hit the heights. And let's remember that Maradona did it without the protection that Messi gets these days. He did it in an era where the physical development of the game made it difficult for players of his type. And the moral courage, or not just moral courage, but the physical courage Maradona showed every time he took the field, because there were people there trying to put him in hospital. So Messi doesn't get anything like the same protection. But 86, you know, the final, the Germans have come back to 2-2. Let's imagine Germany win that one. That would take some of the shine off the Maradona thing. But he did that one great thing that he did in the final where he was marked very well by Lothar Matthäus. The defence-splitting pass that put Buruchaga through on the goal. 3-2 winning goal. Imagine that he had Gonzalo Higuain instead of Buruchaga and Higuain put it wide, as Higuain did in those three consecutive finals, the World Cup in 2014, the Copa America in 2015, the Copa America in 2016. Every time the big chance fell to Higuain and every time he missed it. And that's the main reason that Messi doesn't have a senior international title to his name.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Coutinho's goal celebration, some other stories from the world of South American football. Timmy's going to stick around.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Tim Vickery's with us, and we talked a bit of Lionel Messi. Let's talk about Felipe Coutinho and that goal celebration after he scored their third against United. What was he? Fingers in the ears, Tim.
Yeah, and if you can lip read in Portuguese, there was some swearing going on there, directed, I think, at the Barcelona crowd. It takes an angry man to sing an angry song, and I'm fascinated to see how this is going to play out in Barcelona, because he has insulted them. He really, really insulted them with that angry goal celebration. As soon as he got the ball in that, you know, thinking that's his scene, that's where he really, really shines. But he hasn't shone enough for Barcelona. You kind of wonder how he fits in. And sometimes I think they look better with Dembélé playing in that front three, especially as Suarez has just lost a little bit of his pace. So, and if you want to stretch the opposition, you want to play behind the defensive line, Dembélé, I think, does that better than Coutinho, who likes the ball to feet. They spent a lot of money on him. You know, they're not going to get all of that back, but I'll be fascinated to see what the climate is like now between the fans and the player, because that may be the greatest thing that he's done with his time in Barcelona, but the way that he celebrated and the way that he swore at the crowd might make life difficult for him.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm always fascinated when players do this. I mean, you know, you come in for a lot of money, you don't play particularly well, you don't really win the fans over, and then when you finally do something good, then you throw it back in their face. You think, well, that's not really very helpful, is it? That's not going to do you a lot of favours. It was a strange reaction, I agree with you.
Yeah, he's quite a shy character. And if you look at his career, he's often struggled with the step up. And I was one of those, and it was wonderful to be proved wrong, who, when Liverpool brought it to him, thought, well, I can't really see it, you know, because, and remember, Liverpool picked him up for next to nothing, because Inter Milan, who'd had a long relationship with him, and it ended up just giving up on him, you know, washing their hands of him. They didn't believe in him anymore. And he found this with the Brazil team as well. He took a long time to bed himself into the side. And in recent times, I think since Barcelona have bought him, there's been that debate about him. Is he part of the midfield three or part of the attacking three? And Barcelona bought him originally with the idea of him being an Iniesta replacement in the midfield three. They've given up on that idea totally. Brazil are still trying to stick to that. But I think that's one of the reasons that the World Cup went wrong for Brazil, because he isn't really that box-to-box figure. I think he's better in the front three. But as I say, I wonder if Barcelona are better with Dembélé rather than Coutinho in the front three, despite the fact that he scored a real screamer yesterday.
Yeah. Now, Brazil as a nation was so traumatised by losing the 1950 World Cup on home soil at the Maracanã that they looked at every angle to shake off the disappointment and the trauma, one of which was to wear a completely different kit and get rid of the white shirts and go for yellow and green, of course, in that infamous competition in the newspaper. But so what should we read into the fact they're returning to white after all these years?
the influenced in reverse by Amy Winehouse.
Could be.
But mainly, I think mainly that sportswear manufacturers are garnering the fruit. So now that's, you know, that's what this is mainly about. It's a new kit that's out there that they'll sell worldwide. And it looks great. I think the white shirt looks great. But it's they're bringing it back. They brought Vinicius Jr. back across the Atlantic to model it. And they're bringing it back for the Copa America, which kicks off in just under two months' time. They'll certainly be wearing it for the first game against Bolivia. And the justification here is, you know, because on Brazil, the first game that they played against the mighty Exeter City in 1914, from then for the next nearly four decades, they played in white, including the first Copa America that Brazil staged, 1919, the first Copa America that they won, which had a huge development on the popularization of the game in Brazil. So it's an opportunity just to kind of tip your hat a little bit to that centenary. So it's a nice little recognition that there was football in Brazil before they put on the yellow shirt, and also it's a chance for the manufacturer to make some money.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of this. They do it a lot in American sport, the throwback jersey. They have a weekend where they all wear a very traditional shirt like this, and I'm surprised the manufacturers haven't got onto that here in the Premier League, because I think it would be pretty popular. But anyway, it's a good one. Tell us a bit about Silvinho, because he seems to be making his way in the Brazil national setup.
Yeah, he is. Now, can I take you back, Andy, to a painful memory? You think you're in the Champions League final against Barcelona. It's Guardiola's first season. That controversial game at Stamford Bridge when you had 20 penalties for handball.
Yeah.
It's the Iniesta goal right at the end that gets Chelsea through. I remember that game vividly. And you look at the bench and Guardiola, it's his first season. And Guardiola is jumping up and down and celebrating like a madman. Who is thinking like a coach? Silvinho, who is there. It's his last season there at Barcelona. And he's on the substitutes bench. And he's the one he's the calmest head there. And he wanders over to Guardiola and he reminds Guardiola, look, you've still got some substitutions to make. We're now ahead, you know, on away goals. Run down the clock, make a substitution. And I looked at that and I thought, well, Silvinho, there's no doubt about it. That is coaching material. And it's taken him a little while. And when he gave up the game, after Barcelona, he had a little spell there with Man City. When he gave up the game, he went back to Brazil and he was assistant coach with a number of teams since the current national team coach took over, Chichi. Silvinho has been on Brazil's coaching staff, and he's an important voice there because he's got top-level European club experience, which the coach doesn't have. Silvinho, he was watching Liverpool-Chelsea at the weekend. He was watching Ajax yesterday, and he's in the stadium for Liverpool again today. I think Roberto Firmino is one of the key things that he's going to be looking at, because Brazil are still struggling to have Firmino as their centre forward. But they're bringing back under 23 football in South America for Olympic qualifiers. That category has been dead for a while, but it's been brought back. And Silvinho will be Brazil's under 23 coach. There's a tournament in Colombia at the start of next year. So it's taken a while, taken perhaps a little bit longer than I imagined when I saw him as more of a coach than Guardiola in that vital minute at Stamford Bridge. But his coaching career is beginning to blossom, and he's an important voice in the Brazil structure.
Now, fans stoning a team coach is not altogether unusual in South America or indeed other parts of the world, but this is one with a difference, Tim, isn't it?
Yeah, this is fans stoning the coach of their own team, and it's even more bizarre because this is Palmeiras, giants in São Paulo, coached by Luis Felipe Scolari. They are the reigning Brazilian champions. They were on their way. This is last Wednesday. They were on their way to a game in the Libertadores, South America's Champions League, which they won 3-0. It's their third win in four games, so there's no doubt about it. They're practically already qualified for the knockout phase. So this is a big, successful team, and they're still getting stoned by their own fans. Why is this? Well, we're just at the end in Brazil of the regional championships, you know, one for each of the states. And the crime of Palmeiras was after a 0-0 draw in the semi-finals of this local competition, they got eliminated on penalties by their rivals, São Paulo. And that was seen as unacceptable. The stadium the next day was just daubed with protests and this group of fans stoning their own coach of a successful team. You imagine being the reigning domestic champions and having your team bus stoned by irate fans. You know, that idea of Brazilian football is so romantic and everyone expressing themselves and no one cares about the result and no one cares about conceding seven. That any time you read that, rip it up and start again, because it ain't true. And
they're
Brazil
bad
is
losers, aren't they?
Yeah,
they,
well,
it's they
a,
hate losing.
And it's an angry place. And the football stadiums quite often can be angry environments and don't lose. You know, and well, one of the reasons that, that Juninho, the Middlesbrough Juninho, one of the reasons that he loves the club so much is there's that season when they lost two cup finals and got relegated. And in Brazil, they just set fire to his house, you know. But in Middlesbrough, they just loved him all the more. Oh, don't lose in Brazil. It's a cruel place to lose.
You said rip it up and start again. You love an old musical reference. And of course, it was George Harrison who said all things must pass. But that wasn't true of Pelé's kidney stone, which required surgery.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that's like one of Tim's.
Oh, no. I know, I did it for him. It's like I'm like a Tim Vickery tribute act.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, the tribute act is much better than the original. If I had a hat, you're making me wish I had a hat, so I could take it off now.
But thankfully, you have removed it and he's okay. Good old Pelé's out of hospital. He says, I'm fine. I'm back on the field, thirsting for new goals. We look forward to that. Cheers, Tim. All the best.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on Talks.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. And we return tomorrow with all sorts of stuff. We'll be bringing the clips of the week and Martin Kellner and a bunch of stuff we'd normally do on Fridays. We're not here Friday, tomorrow. So we hope you can tune in then. Until then, have a good evening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.